You know, I've often thought if the Lord were to have a saved person standing at the judgment seat and was to ask them, why didn't you do this? And they hadn't even read it. They'd be in pretty bad shape. God put that book there for us to be studied. A lot of people are afraid of it. But there's a lot of things in there that don't have anything to do with prophecy. They just have to do with everyday Christian living. In Revelation 22:7, here's a blessing God promises. And I guarantee you this blessing's the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Everything God's Word is. But I can tell you by experience, this one is something experientially that I am acutely aware of. He said, behold, I come quickly. That's an adverbial modifier used as a descriptive adjective. It refers not to the time of his coming, like next week, next month, but boom, the manner of coming, quickly, suddenly. He used the word blessed. That means happy. Happy is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. When a person studies the book of Revelation, all the prophecies in there are important, and prophecy is important. But prophecy is one of the many things in the Bible, and what's important is when he tells you in his word, whether it's in Revelation, 1 Thessalonians, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, a person is happy if he hears what Christ says, the sayings of the prophecy of this book. It is a book of prophecy, but he also tells you a lot of things you need to do in it. And he said a man's happy if he does this. And I think that I can testify that's the whole truth from personal experience. When I do the things in the book of Revelation God said I'm supposed to do, and I'm capable of doing them, I can't live above sin, but I can do them. And I'm a very happy man. When I don't do them, I'm a very unhappy man. Because the Holy Spirit loves me very much, and he gets on my back like a duck on a June bug and rides me to the ground. Now, that's when a man is not happy. When he studies a book, and he knows what it says, and he doesn't do it. But there are lots of things that God told us we can do. We can't live above sin. But there's lots of sayings and things, the words of Jesus, and he wrote that book through John, that we can do. You want to be happy? Then do what the book of Revelation says. Why? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, just as a general rule of thumb, anything your body fervently enjoys doing is not according to the sayings of this book. And you're going to be judged for what you did in this body. You push this body. This body would like to sleep. This body doesn't want to come to church except on a limited basis. This body wants rest, relaxation. It wants fun. It wants to just have a general good time. And if that means laying around doing nothing, if it means running out, climbing hills and mountains, if you do that, and yet you don't force this body to come to church, then you're going to be judged for it, just like I'm going to be judged for it too. I didn't come to realize that till I was about 38 years old. And from that time on, I've tried to be faithful in church. I've tried to be there and listen. I haven't always been a preacher. And I tried to sit and do what God wanted. And you can do that. Can you imagine standing before the judgment seat of Christ and actually being judged for the amount of time you spend in church? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being judged for the number of hours you spend in church? Can you imagine it? I can. I can imagine it quite well because I have a carnal mind. I'm a sinful man. And I think things that aren't too nice. I get irritated sometimes. I act like a kid sometimes. I do things that are silly and childish. God forgives me for that. But how can God forgive me for ignoring his church? And I strongly suspect that just like I had to have so many semester hours to graduate when I went through Arkansas Tech and when I went through the seminary and when I went through the institutions of higher learning in the Air Force, I think that God's going to judge us for the number of hours that we spend in church and worshiping him in that church. Now, I know that may sound a little sifted you. But think about it. That's something you can do. That's something he can legitimately judge you for. It's something he can legitimately judge you for. After all these years here, if you think I'm trying to embarrass you, make you feel bad, preach at you, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. I'm just trying to get you to think about, what's he going to judge us for? Well, I think one of the things he's going to judge me for is how much time I've spent in church and how much time I've spent in his word and how diligently I wanted to present his word to you, and that's what I'm going to get judged for. There are church members today who are saved and justified by the blood of Christ that live unjust lives. Now, if you don't believe me, you just try and pastor a church for 31 years. I tell you, there are church members today who are saved and justified by the blood of Christ, heaven-bound, that live unjust lives. There are church members today who are saved and justified by the blood of Christ that live filthy lives. Now, I don't think any of you all live unjust lives, and I don't think that you live filthy lives. I'm certainly not trying to point the finger at you like that. I think these are talking about people who get saved, join the church, and once in a great while you see them, or maybe you never see them again. And they live unjust lives. They live filthy lives. You say, well, then they go to hell. That's exactly why I've been doing that series in the morning. No, they don't go to hell. They do not go to hell if they're saved. And they can go out and break away from church. They can do anything they want and still go to heaven. But it's kind of like that old song, Charlie Brown, "You're Gonna Get Caught. Just you wait. Just you wait and see." That's exactly what's going to happen to a lot of people. And the ones who do come and the ones who do worship are going to worship by how much are going to be rewarded for how much they paid attention to what they learned and applied to their own lives, the way they think, the way they live, and the way they act. There are church members who were justified by the blood of Christ that live righteous lives. They were justified by the blood of Christ. They're also going to heaven. But they live righteous lives. What is a righteous life? Well, you got Christ living inside you. He's righteous. He's the only righteousness you have. Now, let's be practical. If he's the only righteousness you have, then you must be here because he wants you here. Where's Jesus Christ right now? He's right here. He's among you, and he's in you. This is his Father's house. We practice and preach and teach what he as the head of the church delivered, and he is the foundation of it. This is his holy house. And you're here, and he's here, and he's in you. So I would say that people that are righteous are people that are following the leadership of Christ. And they're the people that listen to him and come to church. There are church members who are justified by the blood of Christ who live holy lives, set apart from the world. Chuck Trusty is perhaps one of the most clean-living, clean-cut young men I've ever met. And his wife is the same, Summer. And they've raised those children where they are really special kids. John wanted to date her pretty bad. But he said, well, Tom, she won't have nothing to do with me. He said, she's perfect. He said, she's just perfect. And she dated him. And she's a nice girl, isn't she? He raised her right. He raised her good. And Chuck Trusty does live a life set apart from the world. He not only preaches it, he practices it. I wish I practiced it as well as he does. If you don't believe this, check the church history of any local church or try to pastor one for any length of time. The key words in the verses that follow are quickly and still. I've preached this to you before, but this time I'm talking about the Beatitudes. I'm talking about what makes a person happy. You want to be unhappy? Quit coming to church. You want to be unhappy? Just leave. Don't ever come back and don't ever go to another one of the Lord's churches. Just go home and do what you want to do until you die. You'll be the most miserable person on this earth. because the Lord loves you, and He's giving you an opportunity to love Him, and you won't find any happiness until you get back in fellowship with Him. The word quickly, as a verbal modifier, uses a descriptive adjective, refers not to when the Lord's coming, but to the manner in which He will come. I know sometimes it seems like I just keep emphasizing Christian living over and over and over and over again. There's a reason for that. Now, when the Lord comes at the rapture, according to Paul, it will be as quickly as the human eye blinks. Boom. Boom. It's actually less than a second. It's hard to even pick up an eye blink. It's so many decimals of a second. The word still is used in each of the four types in Revelation 22:11 to remind the reader His coming will be so quick they will be caught in whatever state they're living, with no chance for repentance and a change in their lifestyle. It is God's way of telling the reader he needs to continually be caught in living a righteous, set-apart life, or he will see they are caught in their routine lifestyle when Jesus comes. Revelation 22:11-12. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He said, if a person has lived an unjust life and is out of church, he said, let him still be living that unjust life when I come. And he which is filthy, living a filthy life, even though he's saved and scripturally baptized, let him be filthy still. You say, well, how do you know that's talking to saved people? Because that book is written to churches. In the first chapter, Jesus said it's written to churches, plural. In the second and third chapter, he says, seven times, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In the last chapter, he says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. This is written to church members. This is written to me. It's written to you. He says, don't get caught doing that. Lord, have mercy. This church has had people that did that and embarrassed the church and the community. And it took a long time for us to live that down after I came up here. And he is holy. He is righteous. Let him be following Christ still, the righteous Christ in him. He that is holy, living a set apart alive. Hagaso. He says, let him still be living a set apart life. And behold, he said, I come quickly. Adverbial modifier, suddenly, in the blinking of an eye, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. God's going to reward you for your work. You didn't have to be here tonight. You don't have to come to Sunday school. You don't have to come here in the morning. You don't have to come on Wednesday night. You can stay home. It's your choice. Always has been. All my exhorting and screaming and hollering and slinging snot and making you mad, that's not going to get you faithful to God, because it's a personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ. And when He works on your heart and you think about Him and you think about how much He loves you and what He's done for you, then you come to church because you want to be here. And because you're anxious to hear what He has to say. Some people say, I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher. That's not true. I'm a teacher who shows you about Jesus Christ and exhorts you to serve Him because He loves you. And He's told you what to do. Could it be that part of the reward will be exhibited in the glory of the individual resurrected? Could it be possible that a child of God reaps what he or she sows? Could it be that some bodies will be more glorious than others, according to the degree they sowed to the Spirit? So also, in 1 Corinthians 15:52, is the conclusion drawn to the verses that precede it. This is not my word. This is God's word. 1 Corinthians 15:38, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, to every seed His own body. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you're saved. You're scripturally baptized. You're a member of this church. You're going to receive a glorified body. And God's going to give you a body just like you deserve, just as glorious as your works that you perform for Him in His church showed you. In Him, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also, that's a conclusion, is the resurrection of the dead. It is sowed in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. As your pastor, I do care what happens to you physically. I do. And I do pray for you. But I am a lot more concerned about what happens when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I hate to tell you this, but I'm somewhat selfish. You already know that. I'm concerned that I may not have taught you properly. And so I don't want to have to stand before the Lord and give an account as to why I didn't preach and tell you over and over again of the importance of serving Him. The greatest friend you'll ever have is somebody that cares for your spiritual destination, and somebody that cares what kind of rewards you're going to get in heaven forever and ever. Because all this passes away, and a lot of us here don't have much time. I'm a lot more concerned about how I spend my time and how well I invest my time in serving the Lord and in putting His church first in my mind and my heart. Because in heaven, whatever kind of body I receive, it's going to be wonderful. But I want it to be as wonderful as the Lord will make it. And I believe serving Him in His church, the time you spend in doing what He has assigned you to do in the church and wants you to do in the church, is basically what He's going to reward you for. Could it be the one said to overcome in Revelation represents a church member who was still found living a righteous, set-apart life? Could that be? When he or she died a natural death or was taken at the rapture? Is that the overcomer? It's mentioned throughout the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation was written to church members. So I want to be an overcomer. I don't make any bones about it. I absolutely, positively, without any questions and unashamedly tell you, I want to be an overcomer. Now this was written to church members. This wasn't written to lost people. I've heard it preached that way many times, but it wasn't written to lost people. It was written to church members. People that were already saved. People that were already scripturally baptized. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. This is standing at the door of a church member's heart. He rebukes you. He chastens you. He says, now, look at your life. That's what he's telling me. Look at your life. What are you doing in your life that's wrong? I've never been able to come up with an answer and say, well, nothing, Lord. I can tell you everything's wrong in my life that I'm aware of, but as the time passes and I study the scripture, I discover there's things wrong in my life I didn't think were all that bad. It all is entailed in this. We know we're imperfect, and every time he tries to get us to do better, God says, if you don't, repent. And he says, keep on repenting. Well, how long will God let you keep doing that? Until you die. You have this opportunity. It's to a church member. Behold, I stand at the door. That's the door of a church member's heart. It's not the church building door. It's the individual church member's heart. And knock. If any man hear my voice, and open the door. This is talking about a warm, close, personal, intimate fellowship. This is talking about the blessing. This is talking about the very first scripture that I looked at. The very first scripture we examined. Keeping his sayings. I'm preaching out of Revelation. These are his sayings. He said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Sometimes when I'm sitting over at the house, when I'm studying in this book, I come across something about Jesus that I didn't know. I have never enjoyed anything as much as when I discover something about Jesus that I didn't know, because it's always more wonderful than what I'd already learned about him. And it makes me love him more, makes me want to serve him more. And I'll sit there sometimes and I'll cry, a grown man, and I'll just sit there and thank him from the depths of my soul for letting me understand that. It's a warm, close, personal, intimate time of fellowship I have with Jesus Christ, and it's based on the things in that book. He says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. You know, that's talking about positionally. I don't think that's necessarily talking about I'm going to sit in the throne and rule over all those people. I don't think that's necessarily what it's talking about. I think it's talking about being in the immediate presence of Jesus Christ and being right inside the city of the New Jerusalem. And look what he says. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You care what kind of a house you live in now. You care what kind of an environment you have. You enjoy life. If you're older, you've accumulated a lot of things in life. And you have those things to enjoy, and you have a nice home to enjoy, and you love life. This is for eternity. I want to be where Jesus is. I want to live within a stone's throw of him. Will I get to do that? Well, I think that's pretty much up to how much I follow his spirit. I know I'm in the right place. I know I'm in one of his churches. I know he says unto him, be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without ear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of God. That's in the holy city, the New Jerusalem. You know, I've been remembering, I used to hear some pretty good messages, but when it was time to go home, I was always ready to go.